Let's turn now in the scriptures to 1 Timothy and chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We are reading this evening the whole chapter, verses 1 through 16. And beginning in verse 1 of God's Word. Listen and hear him speak. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women likewise must be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And those are God's words. So this chapter, that like what we'll find in Titus, is primarily about the qualifications of elders and deacons. Elders, or we could call them bishops, verses 1 through 7. They're called overseers. And deacons, verses 8 through 13. And the purpose of Paul writing this letter to Timothy, we find in verse 15. It says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." And so he's teaching us about what we are to do in public worship, what we are to do in the church. And then the great doctrinal statement. And that's for the whole book, the whole letter here, first chapter through the fifth chapter. And then the great doctrinal statement that we must hold to concerning Jesus Christ, verse 16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Therefore, they're detailing Christ's incarnation, his coming, his life, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then also his ascension, his proclamation, his being believed in and sitting at the right hand of God as the King of Kings over all. And here we are called, especially as we think of that, God's people are to come to Him, to give your life to Him, even and especially elders and deacons. You are to live upstanding lives continually for Him. And all of us here should seek to live similar lives described in these qualifications, and that we would live godly lives for Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful that you give us your word. We're thankful that you speak to us and you condescend to speak to us your holy word. And Father, we are thankful for the gospel once again shown in this passage that the church, all the churches throughout the world are to confess and profess these things in verse 16. Father, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, may we be a church who proclaims such things of the birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, even His ascension and now seated at God's right hand. And we remember that as Christ is seated on the throne over all, Father, we acknowledge that Christ must be submitted to. And so we pray for our church that in all things we would submit to Him as we prayed this morning. But we also pray for our nation and all nations that they would bow the knee and they would kiss the Son. That they would, as our governing authorities, they would love Christ. They would be saved. As you promise, all types of people will be saved. And so we pray for them as well. These even new rulers who will take office soon in the coming year at the federal level, maybe the state level, and then those other leaders who have perhaps taken their role already in local levels. Father, we ask for them that you would give them wisdom according to your word, that they would love your word, they would submit and bow the knee to your word, and they would rule according to your word for the good of your church, that we might worship and live peaceably in this nation and in our city. Father, we, on top of this, we pray for our future. Father, we ask that you would provide families for us. We struggle financially, so we need families. Father, we don't only desire families to be transferred from other churches. But Father, we desire new converts. Those who will passionately love your Son, Jesus Christ, and serve Him. And Father, we need your help in this. We will not survive in our current state. And so, Father, we ask for your help and that you will build your house even through our congregation. And Father, we pray for the word that as it goes forth, that you would cause it to bear fruit, that it would not be void in our own lives and those outside of us as they hear us as we speak your word. And then, Father, we do ask for your blessing in the coming weeks as we again have times with families. Our families are closer families, earthly families. And Father, we ask that we would be a light and for some of us in a dark place, that we would be your servants and faithful in it. Father, we pray for our those that we'll meet, those families that we'll come in contact with. Father, we ask for your Spirit to be sent to open their hearts, to be receptive to your word, and that you would shine a light into the darkness of their hearts. Father, we're thankful also that you have given us elders, you've given us deacons to focus on the word and prayer for elders and serving the church for deacons in various ways, but yet we praise you. Even as we saw today, everyone in our congregation helping, serving each other with setting up and the food preparation and all that in our fellowship meal. Father, we're thankful for that, and we pray that you would increase that. And even as we hear this evening of the zeal that we ought to have for Christ, that we would be zealous to serve one another in the church. And Father, we ask for opportunities that they would be clear in our mind, those opportunities that we might take those opportunities to serve each other and each of our families. Father, we ask for some of those added responsibilities that will come upon elders and deacons now that we're in a different denomination. We ask that they would not be burdensome, that they would be a delight to take on, and that they would be simple, Father, and that you would help build us as a body, even through the service of your officers. And then, Father, we do pray for our families. We ask for your help. Well, we know that we cannot be sustained in our families, our marriages, or even as fathers and wives, fathers and mothers. Father, we ask that you would help us. We ask that you would strengthen our marriages, that we would image forth, mirror that perfect relationship between the Father and the Son. We ask that you'd help us by your Holy Spirit and move us to love our spouse, to respect our spouse, as we love and submit to Jesus Christ in all things. And Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.